So how is this implemented? So poker houses that operate under the safe harbor provision operate by having a member-only venue. So in order to come to the poker house, you have to be a member of that poker house. There's also a physical barrier to entry. These poker houses aren't happening in community spaces, no public places, public parks, or anything like that. They're in physical locations that have doors, and a lot of times also have an entry where you go in, sign in to verify your membership, and then you can access the poker room on the screen you saw the picture. And so that's one. That is the way that poker houses are getting around and not being in a private place. The second component is economic benefit. And so the code said no person received economic benefit other than the personal winnings. And so unfortunately, this is not defined in the code, so we have to turn to case law and then to our interpretations of what the statute means. The two cases that are on this point are one is Gaudio versus State, and the second is Miller versus State. Both of these articulate what is economic benefit. And so in the Gaudio case, it was a bunch of individuals that got together who liked playing poker and wanted a place to play in a safe way. So they rented an apartment. But what happened was the winnings from that poker tournament or the poker game they played, part of that was siphoned off to pay for the apartment. And the case and the court there said that was using the winnings to economic benefit, which is the payment for the rent. And so that was clearly in violation of economic benefit provision. The second case was even more egregious. The profits that were made from this poker tournament were shared by the investor and the owner, and there also was a rake, and the odds favored the house. So that was clearly in violation of economic benefit and the third prong as well. And so for the poker houses that are operating under the safe harbor provision, what are they doing? They are saying that no rake is being taken place. So when you go to the poker house, you pay your membership fee to get in, and you also pay a hourly usage fee. So you basically, you pay to be a member, and then you pay to use the space that you're there, that you're participating in. Whether you win or lose or how long you're there, you're just paying for being there. All the money that you win or lose in poker is amongst the members themselves. And the poker house takes none of that. And so a lot of times some of the people argue that, well, the benefit, there's economic benefit of just operating in a house and of these venues. And so I think the logical extension to that is if we take that position, a lot of cities will have to start shutting down like golf country clubs because they have membership only events and poker is played at most of these golf country clubs. And so it's a tricky line to go there. The one gray area, which is a question that a lot of has been brought up, is tips. And so if somebody tips one of the dealers from their winnings, does that constitute economic benefit? So a lot of the poker houses have argued that would. And so to prevent that, they either do not allow tipping at all, or prior to starting the round, you can purchase tip chips that are not part of the money, so whether you win or lose, you can tip, that's not part of the winnings. And so that's how the economic benefit safe harbor provision has been working. The third provision is, except for the advantage of skill or luck, the risk of losing and the chance of winning are the same for all participants. This third provision isn't really challenged so long as there's no house odds. So the poker house and the poker room does not have higher odds of winning, and there's no insurance betting allowed. This is a lot, so I'll go through this pretty quickly. But there is some legal authority on this. We first go to the Constitution. And the Constitution says that the legislature shall pass laws prohibiting lotteries and gift enterprises. We have an AG opinion from 1990 that articulates games involving skill would not fall under the lotteries and gift enterprises. And so because of that, that's how we argue that the state passed the statute of the safe harbor provision, because the Constitution does not prohibit poker by explicitly. There's been three other attorney AG opinions on this topic. Most of them have been predominantly about what is a gambling scheme and what is illegal. So one of them was about calling in a number place a bet, which is illegal, and going online, which is illegal. But both of those AG opinions have a caveat in they are legal unless the defense of prosecution is met. And the latest AG opinion we have is from 2005, which was an AG opinion by Greg Abbott stating that bars and restaurants cannot host poker tournaments unless participants risk no money, monetary value. And so, again, that alludes to the safe harbor provision. And so now we kind of want to talk about the public policy implications of poker houses and the political ramifications. So we've been on the forefront of this, and we've heard the pros and the cons, and I try to articulate the three pros three best arguments for each side. So for proponents of poker houses, the largest and most substantial argument for having them is that it eliminates the underground poker games. Poker is going to be happening, and everyone I've talked to that plays poker or dealers that deal poker articulate poker is going to happen. It just depends on where. And so if the cities can help get these out from under the shadows, which really helps with some violent issues that are associated with them and illegality of them, it's a benefit. And then for the third component of that is that it's an economic benefit for the city. It creates jobs and it generates tax revenue. And also proponents obviously argue that the legislature carved this provision, the safe harbor provision, out specifically for poker houses like them. Opponents of poker houses articulate that it's a polarizing activity, and this is obviously subjective, but we've had at public hearings I've heard people stand up and say that poker houses are the equivalent of strip clubs. And obviously that's a subjective person, and it's really disheartening to some of the dealers and people that play poker to be equated with things that aren't as